In 2 Peter, it mentions, where is the promise of his coming? All things remain the same since the fathers fell asleep. Well, if it was near then, it's nearer now. And I've had people, oh, Bob, you've been telling me about the coming of Christ all your life. Well, I'll keep telling them about it too. Until he comes.
All 10 virgins slumbered, but only 5 prepared for the imminent. So when the cry came out, behold, the bridegroom cometh, 5 were ready. And beloved, that I believe is the intent of such a conference, that we be ready at any moment, any time, because the cry was an obvious surprise. But I was thinking on this promise of the Lord Jesus can only be appropriated by faith. The disciples had the blessing of seeing the Lord Jesus, knowing him personally, and watching him ascend to glory, or as far as they could see. And him speaking directly to them, which is recorded for our blessing. But the Lord Jehovah said to Abraham, I am thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham believed God. And in like manner, beloved, we have to also keep that faith in the promises of God. And trust that God will perform that which he has promised. Has he ever failed? And so this is one of the blessings that we can readily accept, believe in, bite into, and appropriate and joy in our Christian walk of faith. And such words are a comfort to us, especially in a world that's just spinning out of control. And it's like my dad says down in Florida, I can't believe I'm still here. Why is the Lord waiting? I just want to go home. You know. So this is something we can truly enjoy.
This promise redirected the disciples in their future prospect. They had also hoped for a Messiah to come and to reign on earth. And their focus was earthly. But the Lord has, in his promise, especially this thought that I will receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. He redirects their spiritual eyes to heaven and off of this earth, and puts them in a much better perspective of this life here today. You know, when we have that heavenly vision of being with Christ, as we go through our daily experience, it changes how we experience things in life. And he gives them this. No doubt they were worried. He's talking about dying on a cross. He's talking about leaving them, as we have in the first verse. But then he gives them this promise. And that promise to them is also for us, right? We don't limit it to the apostles there that were hearing his words, but it extends to everyone who has put their faith in the Lord Jesus, that he has given this promise for every generation. And every generation since the Lord's ascension should have that expectation that he will come in our lifetime. He's given us that hope. And he's also given not just our focus to be towards heaven, but towards him who is in heaven. So it's towards a person. So we're looking forward to being with him. And this is what he gives them. I think it's a unique aspect of the Gospel of John, right? Because when we look at the other Gospels, here and there, there's some hint of his second coming. For example, when he gave the the emblems to remember him by. He said, I will not drink of this or will not eat of this until the kingdom of God comes. So there was a future aspect to the supper. But here it's very direct. And the Gospel of John is very direct. And I think there's a uniqueness about that. I don't know if others want to comment on that.
I think that's really important. I want to pick on the word that you're saying, the uniqueness. It is the uniqueness of Christianity. There is no system of belief, if I want to just describe it this way for the lack of better words, that is connected with a whole that is sure and blessed. Every system of belief, if you ask them what is the end of the journey, perhaps it's death. That is the end of the journey. That is the thing that they think, whatever they have gone through, it is death. That is not the case in Christianity. It is the coming of the Lord. That is really what is connected, and that's what makes it very blessed and privileged that we, the believers, are connected with a person that had promised to come. Just for clarity, there are three things or three aspects of the coming of the Lord Jesus. And that will establish us in the fact that it is a fact and it is truth. In Genesis 49, until Shiloh come, that's a prophecy. And to him will be the subjection of the people. Now, I'm just putting that as the bigger outcome. The coming of Shiloh. And there are three things, as I said, connected with that, or three coming, really. The first one is, he came to his own. That's his first coming. He will come for his own. And then he will come with his own. And those are fact and truth. For a simple reason. Number one, it was a prophecy that was profited, was prophesied, that the Lord Jesus will come. And in the fullness of time, he had come. Every prophecy in the Old Testament that is connected with his coming had happened. Not only had happened in the fullness of time, you had the 70 weeks of Daniel, and you have found exactly when he will come, when the Messiah will be cut off, as a matter of fact. Not his coming, but his cutting off. And Sir Robert Anderson was able to calculate that time when he's entering into Jerusalem. With that, the fulfillment of the 69 weeks of Daniel to the date. His first coming was sure. It was exactly happened. Not only the timing of it, but the place of it. Bethlehem of Judea. Hundreds of years. Exactly in the very same place. So it is a sure word of prophecies that will take place. But now... That had taken place. The Lord Jesus himself said, I will come. He said that in John 21 to Peter. If he should tarry till I come, what is that today? Not only it was prophesied concerning his come, the Lord Jesus, who could not lie, said, I come. And in the book of Revelation, more than once, he said, not only I come quickly. So, it is an assurance to our heart that the coming of the Lord Jesus is fact. It is imminent. It will happen because it was prophesied concerning it and it promised by the Lord Jesus. But the coming of the Lord Jesus to his own, which is the subject of our conference, was not known in the Old Testament. The rapture of the believers, or the taking away of the believers, was not known in the Old Testament. Was a mystery. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us that. That it was a mystery. Something that's not a secret, but something that was hidden. Not a mysterious, but a secret that was hidden from the past. And now it's known to us. The coming of the Lord Jesus for his own. And that's again, something that we are privileged as believers in the dispensation we are, where we are living in grace. To know that the coming of the Lord Jesus is connected with a person. I think as Brother Mike was saying, behold the bridegroom. When we kind of connected with that, it is not the fact he's coming. Really, it is beholding him. And as our eyes are upon him, we will be able to appreciate the fact and live in this world in the light of his coming. And that will give us a lot of sustenance and encouragement in this wilderness journey. But the point I want to make, it is, it's a fact. And it will happen because we have the scripture to support that.